Hello and welcome to another Network Alchemist production of The Networking Fools, with your Networking Fools and hosts, J.W. Najarian and Bob Schechter, as they discuss business, finance, and lifestyle.
Hello, this is J.W. Najarian with The Networking Fool. We are so grateful to get the opportunity to speak to an old friend and exceptional professional, Lynn Rose. Lynn is a transformational speaker, singer, and TV host, having spoken or performed for hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Lynn has starred in a Broadway show and has appeared on General Hospital, Talk Soup, ESPN, and movies for CBS and Disney. As a headliner, Lynn has toured all around the world, having opened up for Sheryl Crow, Jay Leno, Kenny Loggins, and many others. She even sang at the Super Bowl in 2003. Lynn is here because she's a leading expert of an inside-out approach to speaking called the Wow Factor. After having worked with billion-dollar CEOs, celebrities, top experts, and those starting out, she teaches them how to become masterful in their speaking and instantly connect powerfully with their audience and clients. Her passion and her purpose is to connect people with their hearts and to help empower them, and is thus committed that people live fully expressed, knowing the power of who they are and the amazing impact they and their message can make on the world.
Hello, everybody. This is J.W. Najarian and Bob Schechter with the Networking Fools, and we have with us today Lynn Rose. Lynn Rose is a transformational speaker, singer, and TV and radio host, creator of Wow Factor, a whole other way of speaking that revolutionizes your impact and your results. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, J.W. And is Bob there with us?
Yes, he is.
Hello.
Hi.
Excited to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Well, Lynn, you know, I'm so happy to have you on. I've been bugging you forever to come on the show because, you know, we see each other everywhere. I think you're everywhere I go nowadays. We just did what was it? Leaders Causing Leaders. I saw you there.
Yeah.
I saw you at, what other event there? Oh, with the Braveheart. It was the Braveheart. We were on the red carpet together.
That's right. Well, basically, you name the event, we've been there, and that must mean we're following each other or something.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, you're
in real life.
You are definitely, you know, I think you're at just about every event, mainly because you're working there. You're an incredible speaker. I live for the day I can speak like you. So what we're going to talk about today is really cool because you actually teach people how to get up on stage and speak and how to do these wonderful things. And I just mentioned that you were a creator of the Wow Factor. What is Wow?
What is Wow? Well, you know, I don't know if it's useful to kind of give you a little example of where I came from so that it can set up the context of why Wow got established. And, you know, people do. They get to see me on stage or if I'm hosting TV or whatever it might be. And I've now found that place where I can totally have fun, totally be who I am and have that freedom and that power. And people for years were asking me to create some work so they could be able to access to that level or whatever it might be. But it goes so much farther beyond that because people don't realize, they may see what they see on stage or see me in this certain context now, but it was not always like that because there was that period of time in my life where I was the polar opposite. I was completely shut down with fear. I was numbed out. I could barely get sound out. I could barely even move. I was so stiff. My eyes would dart around. I was just so locked inside. And it was really painful because I felt like I had so much more that I wanted to get out. I felt that there was so much more inside, but it felt practically impossible from where I was at that point.
And you know, that's actually good news for a lot of us because, you know, I still get stage fright and I still get locked in words. And I see you out there and it all seems to come so easy for you. So it's really great to hear that it didn't start that way. Because now, are you saying now that when you're out there and you make it look easy, that you're actually in a great zone and in a great place where it feels real good?
Yes. I mean, the thing is, you know, we're all human, so there's going to be times that maybe you haven't slept and someone just, you know, you found out something that makes you feel bad right before you go on stage. And no matter what, you've got to put yourself in that zone where it flows through. And so there are times when I might have stuff come up, but I know how to navigate through it. And that's also part of the work that I do. I'm able to give to people because, you know, part of putting yourself out there, you're always going to have all sorts of different circumstances you're encountering or states that you may be in. And just in continuing with also just sharing from that place, because you're right. One goes, is there really any hope when you're stuck in that place? You think that's all that there is, and not realizing that you have that possibility, and also that it wouldn't have to take years. Because for me, it took years. It took me years to unlayer and bit by bit move past it. Finally, I started moving past it, but now I was doing it from a place where I was controlling how I came across and really just being uptight and trying to do it right and controlling it. And then finally, I bit by bit unlayered that and got to a place where it just flows. And so, you know, I feel like I've seen and experienced all realms of it and continuing to learn and grow, because that's, you know, what we do here on this planet. But that's why I'm so committed to the power of this work, because what it does is gives people, it's a hands-on experiential process-based training. It's an inside-out approach to speaking, so that you get that foundational place within 2 days. I've had someone come in who was like how I was, completely shut down and scared and frozen and looking around and had never had spoken before and you name it. And at the end of the 2 days, he spoke with power and command. He had confidence. He was on fire. It flowed out of him. And in fact, the lid had been taken off. And so he ended up leaving and making all these calls and booking speaking gigs. And within 4 months, had a speaking career. Now has a successful coaching business, because at the time he was a graphic designer. And was just on Good Morning America, like within the last 2 years. So, you know, what's possible when we allow ourselves to break out of that shell, when we dissolve our walls and we dissolve those barriers to our connection. And it goes far, JW and Bob, it was just saying, it goes so far beyond just having fear or being shut down. Because the many people, they've been working and working on themselves, or Toastmasters might be a great example. It's a wonderful resource for learning the structure of how you get your speech and other aspects of speaking and having a forum to be able to practice. But people are getting almost put into a box or into a template, and they are maybe even practicing and building habits that aren't supporting them ultimately for where they could go, because you want to have that foundational place of where you're speaking from your heart, where you're leading from your connection. That leads everything else and let the rest flow from there. And most people come from the outside in. They may not realize that's what they're doing. And as a result, it's a barrier to their connection to the audience or the media, or they're stuck in their head, or they're not flowing
right,
or they're not having much fun.
And, you know, and that's why this is so exciting to have you on today, because there's so many people in my place, and I get out there and I do interviews, and I do, we're kind of on the mantra of, even if you screw them up, even if you're nervous, even if you mess them up, just do them. And that took us a long time to do. We talked about doing them forever, but we were too nervous or too scared or didn't like our voices, all that kind of stuff.
I hate listening to my voice, which is one of the reasons that I don't ever get out there and speak. I don't mind speaking in a, you know, an interview situation like this. It's not terrible. But even that, when I listen back, it's terrible. How do you get people comfortable with themselves? I mean, how can I ever get to my wow moment? By the way, what does wow stand for? Because it's obviously, it has some meaning besides just that zone that I get into.
Right. Well, you know, I want to answer the first thing you said, and I'd love to share what WOW stands for, because that's like the foundation to everything. And as I do this, it's a little like being transparent here, trying to get my dog to put him away because he's wanting to find his voice. As a matter of fact, I'm like, you know what? We're doing an interview here, mister.
We had one interview. We had a video interview where the cat kept walking across the screen.
Oh.
That was great. It was just wonderful.
That actually makes it more enjoyable, more real. But so that's what I was going to say, Bob, just to kind of back it up a little bit, and then we'll get to your last question. And that is that, you know, that so many well-known, famous, revered actors and actresses can't stand seeing themselves on the screen, or can't stand their own voice as well. and even just everyday people. I think it's a, there's some human thing with a lot of people where we just get super harsh on ourselves. And I will say, listening to your voice, it's got character, it's fun, it's playful, and especially in today's times when being real is what people want and crave, when you have something that's real and accessible, like your voice, then that's all the more desirable. So,
I thank you for that, but of course, to me all it says is, God, you're from Brooklyn, I can tell.
But you can use it. You can have fun with that. You can play with that. That could be on your side, which probably you do.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, great. And so then, in answer to the question about what does WOW stand for. So WOW is an acronym for Without Walls.
Uh-huh.
Without Walls, W, WOW. Because when you see something, you're like, oh, wow, you know that moment where you're just like, ah. Oh. It's because someone pierced through the noise, pierced through everything, and they've connected on a much deeper, more direct level. And they've done that by not having barriers in their connection. What's possible when we dissolve the walls or dissolve those barriers to our connection so that we're really connecting fully from the core of who we are, not like anybody else, but who we are, and from that heart of who we are to the heart of our audience or the heart of the camera or the heart of your clients or a relationship, whatever that is. And too often we're trying to control how it comes out, or we're in our heads, which is a barrier to our connection. Or too often we're putting on, if we're on stage, we're putting on that presenter mode. You'll take me seriously now because I'm a speaker. Or let me just talk like I know what I'm talking about. And that's a barrier to connection, you know?
Right.
Or the business paradigm where they're overly serious. And now maybe you'll take me seriously because I'm talking like this and I'm in monotone. You're losing the possible impact because you're not making that full, real, powerful connection that happens when you're from that open, really raw place. And so that's what the, you know, the work is able to give to people.
You know, one thing we actually talked about you not too long ago, because I'd get on a interview and I would read a read the bio of the person. And I'd read it like I was, you know, like I was reading it from a book. Lynn Rose is a transformational speaker, singer, and TV host. And if you did that for about a minute or 30 seconds, it sounded like it lasted 10 minutes. And it's funny because when Bob came to me and said, you know, JW, it's way too long. I said, it's 30 seconds. What? I mean, 30 seconds is nothing. I was at a deal with Lynn Rose the other night. And she spoke, I think it was Bill Walsh who introduced the stage. And you must have talked for a minute, 30 seconds about Bill and his background and his stuff. And it sounded so wonderful and compelling and so natural and authentic. And I said, she talked for a minute, 30 and held the room. Well, I think it was because I was reading and didn't get, you know, into it and didn't use, you know, wasn't authentic about it. So it felt like forever.
Well, you know what, and that brings up a really great point, and that's a great point to illustrate. Thanks. It's interesting you're aware of it, and I've been adapting that. But if I may bring up a study that helps also illustrate where this whole foundational process and philosophy comes from, and then why the work ends up being so effective, why it makes a difference, why I, quote-unquote, held the room, you know, or anyone who up there comes from this place. You know this, and I'll start with this study from UCLA, that famous UCLA communication effectiveness study. There's been a lot of other studies since then, and I'll bring that up in just a minute. But this initial study, they found that in communication effectiveness, only 7% was based on the actual words you say, and the remaining 93% was on the nonverbal communication, basically the energy of who you are. Yeah, you know, tonality, body language, but really that adds up to the energy of who you are. What people are connecting to is the energy of who you are, and that is the delivery system of your message. That's what they're really listening to. And the words are secondary. The words are important, absolutely. But if you don't have that engine of how you deliver it, they're going to go over their heads or be lost, kind of like when you were reading it like the robot, let's say. And there's many other studies since then that now show it's more like 80-20, but still, that's really powerful when you can tune into that.
No, it does sound totally counterintuitive to what we think.
Exactly. And we get caught up in that, and then that stands in our way. And that's what causes people's fear, because they're trying to say, am I going to say it right? Will I do it right? You know, what are they thinking? And they get all caught in that instead of just trusting about, you know what, it's just me, feel me, and from there, trusting that the rest comes. And once you really tap into the freedom of what that is, it's amazing what shows up. But, you know, here's another, I love this other study that so well illustrates it, and it kind of the what you were describing in the intros maybe is somewhat related. But there was this audience, and they had two speakers in front of the same audience. And the first speaker was brilliant. He had brilliant content, but he was just delivering the content all in his head, just, you know, we've seen him, the little brainy type, brainiacs, and delivering the content almost like he's just straight ahead and just real serious and just kind of delivering the content. The second speaker was on fire. He was alive. He was connected. He was passionate. He was playful. He was charismatic. All of that. However, he was saying a lot of platitudes, which really, when you look at the actual words, is kind of like a bunch of, a whole lot of nothing, you know? And they asked the audience afterwards an interesting question. They didn't ask the audience, they did not ask the audience, who did you like the most, who did you trust the most, or who entertained you the most? Those would be obvious answers. But they asked the audience, who did you learn the most from? And 70% of the audience said it was the second speaker, Mr. Whole Lot of Nothing. So, you know, what a crime, because the man with the brilliant content, it wasn't landing, it wasn't making an impact, it was going over their heads. And conversely, this gentleman who really wasn't saying much, was that people could so feel him, they so absorbed him, because his delivery system of his message was so powerful that they connected to that. So they felt they were learning something, even though in reality they probably didn't learn much.
Right.
So it is important to get both our words and, you know, our foundational engine of how we communicate and connecting from that place. But that can really give you freedom when you can let go of thinking you've got to get the words right or say it just right.
Well, you know what proves this point? What proves the point is you just watch Fox or MSNBC, and they say a whole lot of nothing, but they say it with so much passion that people just, they don't watch the regular news anymore. They want to watch those shows, which are much more entertainment than news.
Right.
I know I saw a 60-minute interview where they said, talking about Casey Kasem, and they said he got his job because of his voice, but he kept his job because of his personality. And he could have had a squeaky voice, and people would have still listened to him because of the way he was able to, his intonations and inflections were just on spot, perfect. And it's recognizable. I think we all have seen it, and we all understand it. I just don't quite understand how you can get somebody to that zone. It's like a professional athlete. You know, everybody can play the sport. But getting to the point where, like Michael Jordan, you can hold that layup for the extra 2 seconds, how do you get somebody to that zone?
I know, right? Well, you know, I venture to say you could feel, Casey, this is getting a little, you know, holistic, but I really do believe this, you could feel Casey Kasem's heart and warmth while he talked. And I don't believe while he was talking he was trying to make sure he'd control that tonality came out that way. He just really had the heart, and then it automatically got communicated. And if we try to come at it from that outside place, we're manipulating it. We're not really authentically letting it flow. So how people get to this place, or how I'm able to do that with people in this work, is a series of processes to where they get to, from experience, really tap into connecting to that place and it flowing through them and them not controlling it. I mean, I'd have to talk through the processes, and you need to experience them. But by going through these series of processes, and it is very personalized and one-on-one within this training. It's a very intimate group. Otherwise, I don't think you could access it at to the level that you could otherwise. Although people still have gotten so much just from understanding this philosophy. I've gotten emails and calls from people saying, oh my gosh, the next time I went out and spoke, it was XYZ. And they hadn't even gotten to the point of the processes where it was the one-on-one. It was just some work we had done over the phone, or they saw me in a live presentation or something.
So, Lynn.
But,
Okay, you've seen you're a speaker now, and I'm sure when you go to events and you watch speakers differently than you used to because of that. So, because I want you to share some nuggets with us today. When you go out and you listen to other speakers, what kind of issues do you see with people when they're speaking that you can work with or help?
Yeah, and even not just speakers, because this applies to the world of speaking, whether one's a financial advisor, a venture capitalist, you know, you have new presentations within a corporation. It's a wide array, not even just the speakers we might see in those seminars. But there's a number of issues. So whether that's the obvious, like fears or anxiety, and that's prevalent out there, as we know. You know, people like to say it's the number one fear, but you know, it goes way beyond that. There's other anxieties that even if someone's out there speaking, they're in their head because they're worried about what people will think. They're worried about trying to get it right. They're trying to control it while they say it. They're caught in their head. Also, I see where people maybe feel, is it really safe to go ahead and just be who I am? They're trying to do it like somebody else, or trying to follow some template, or thinking they need to get themselves into presenter mode or speaker mode. And all those things end up pushing an audience away, but also, whether someone's aware of it or not, ends up not really allowing you the full freedom and fulfillment of when you're up there speaking. Because when that's gone, there's a whole other thing that shows up and how it feels for you. Speaking of which, like this was the case when I worked with Marcy Shimoff, number one best-selling author, sold over 14 million books, was on the movie The Secret. She's a masterful speaker, been out there for 15 years, you know, on the circuit. But she reached a point where the old way wasn't working anymore. It was like a burden to be out there because it just wasn't feeling fresh. It wasn't really who she was because she was doing it from the years of overtraining and how she'd come at it initially from maybe more exterior place, so that presenter mode. And she hadn't given herself the freedom to just be who she is. And she would almost did not release her book, Happy for No Reason, was not going to go on that book tour, and just felt she couldn't do it, wasn't feeling authentic, just was it going to be too much of a burden for her. And then by going through this work, she was able to let all that go, and she reached a whole other level of how she communicates. She's so much more, has so much more spark in life when she speaks now, and she had an amazing book tour, media tour as a result, and of course that became a number one best-selling book. But there's many, many ways that it shows up. One that's a pet peeve, and I don't know if you see this or recognize this, A.W. and Bob.
What's that?
When the speaker's up there and they're in that old-school presenter mode, or even what's now so prevalent is that salesy way, that hard sales, you know, when you go to a platform speak.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, Lynn, because I can tell now, you know, I go to a lot of seminars, and I can tell the difference. And what's interesting about what you're saying is that you're telling, or you seem to be saying, and tell me if I'm wrong, that not only can you take somebody who is not a speaker, has not spoken, and make them feel comfortable about what they're doing, but you can also work with somebody who's been a speaker for a long time, reinvent themselves and get out of their old habits that are not working anymore.
Well, yes, and don't you think, and this is I think, a great example of what's possible, is that that old way is not working anymore. People are so, with the advent of social media and quote-unquote reality TV, but we're
right.
Really wanting to see what's real, what's just, you know, being open, being transparent. And when we feel like there's this whole, you know, overly rehearsed, overly structured way that it's coming at us, or silly way, there's a way that we're somewhat shut down comparatively. When someone's just up there being who they are, having fun, even if they have mistakes, truly connecting, people are responding. And there was this gentleman who went through my work, and he's on the Trump University stages, was on back at the time when Learning Annex had their big stages, those stages as well.
Oh yeah, 50,000 people would show up to those things.
Exactly right. And you know, all the big speakers, from Tony Robbins to those that sell real estate and trading and internet marketing, all that.
Right.
And So all these guys that have been around for years and in that old school way, and now they were backstage starting to say, wow, man, this economy must be bad, or this town must be bad. I'm only converting 7 or 8%, only selling 7 or 8% of the rooms. And then my friend who went through this work was kind of going, oh, okay, because he was selling 30 to 40% of the room. And it's because he was just who he was up there. He was fumbling around. His product, actually, I think, wasn't even that great back then. You know, but people were like, oh, here's someone who's real. They're like, they really felt they could trust him. And they ended up buying him. You know, that's real. I'm seeing this more and more, that people are connecting to that.
Right.
So, yes, when people come to this work, I had this gal come through, and she didn't change anything in her structure of her speech. She had just gone through this work and now changed. She is how she delivered it, just that part of it. And she ended up having a standing ovation and a table rush and sold out in the back of the room. And all she had changed was it was that energy of how she delivered it. And that's really the engine. It's like a car, right? You don't want just that lovely, beautiful exterior, but if your engine isn't working, the car is not going anywhere. If the engine isn't working as well, it's not worth so much.
Well, yeah, Slick used to sell. It seems like Slick used to sell a lot because the real salesy Slick guy, the guy, even the ShamWow guy, you know, who's become famous because he knows how to get out there and, you know, and just really do the, what is it, the hawking thing at the carnival hawker kind of thing. But then you have people like, are you telling me, you know, authenticity is the big thing? Because, like, Keith Cunningham, he always sounds really authentic to me, and I love to listen to him speak. He could read the phone book, and I would dig it because he just sounds so authentic when he speaks.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the way to go. And authentic is starting to become an overly used buzzword, but for me, authentic means not trying to do it like what you think they want you to do or be, not trying to follow some template, just honoring who you are and totally speaking from that place, and not trying to control it while it comes out either. Just really just being. It's like this is now getting existential again, but really from that being place is where that magic and fire is going to come from.
For somebody who, even during the 60s and 70s, could never get into transcendental meditation because I had this block, I'm very technically oriented. How do you, I mean, is it a chicken or egg type of scenario? Is it psychology or physiology? I mean, you know, like Tony Robbins would throw a glass of water in somebody's face to snap them out of their funk or something like that. I mean, do you get to their head first, or do you start from the shell and say, you know, change your motions and your mannerisms? Where do you start?
Well, basically, yeah, there's a lot of work like that where they're coming at it maybe from the, again, like I say, outside in to get to that. But what I do is dissolve those walls. So through the series of processes, that stuff that's in the way or coming out of that way gets dropped. And then they get to experience what that feels like coming from that place. And I've worked with people like yourself, like you're talking, Bob, you know, when you're very logical-minded and just really straight ahead, and that's a whole different world to you, right? So venture capitalists or financial advisors or lawyers tend to be that type as well. And I've had them go through the work, and when they break through and connect from that place, they go, wow, you know, they go, oh my God, our industry needs you so bad. Please get this work out to our industry. Because it's almost like the lid's been taken off. They've been freed up. They realize there's this whole other way. But it comes through process. It's from experience within those 2 days.
Hey, tell me about the process. Are you talking about the ACE process, your ACE formula? Is that the process?
That basically illustrates the philosophy, but I can certainly go into depth about it, which is kind of, we'll just make it a way that people can hang their hats on it with all that we're saying here.
Right.
Is just basically like the overarching philosophy, and I'm happy to talk through the process if that helps.
No, I didn't mean to sidetrack you because I want you to finish your thought, but you were talking about the process, and I know about your ACE formula. I don't know what it is, so I wanted to find out, is that what you were talking about, or is that different?
No, I was talking about the processes that people go through within the 2 days of the hands-on training, and then what they're able to tap into as a result. Like if, when you go to the site, which you might as well say that if people want to check it out, www.wowyouraudiences.com. When you go to that site, if you scroll way down, you'll see a before and after. And that happened in a matter of minutes. That lid got taken off. And I'll, you realize he was in that business, typical business paradigm of speaking from his head and real serious and just straight. It was fine what he did, but I can guarantee you're only absorbing about half of what he was saying. And then the second half, he's alive. He's like almost goes to an extreme. He's alive and playful and fun and connected and who he is instead of being in this box. And now we totally get what he's saying, and in a way where we're just with him every step of the way. And that happened in a matter of minutes. Now, let me bring up the ACE formula. So how do you ACE it? How do you have that core energy, or what does that mean? Well, it's an acronym so people can really get those. These three things combined is what I believe gives you that core foundational place. And that is ACE. A for authentic, like we've been talking about, being who you are, being real, giving yourself permission to just be who you are and come from that place. C, which is connected, having that, leading from your connection first and trusting that the words and everything else will flow from there. If you have that connection, that leads everything. And I know that might sound a little bit philosophical, but when you get to experience what that's like, it's a whole other world. And then E, the energy with which you speak. Once you've got that core foundational place, now you want to amplify it. You want to, you know, have passion. You want to be playful. You want to amplify the energy of who you are. And really, energy, just the energy of who you are, is your delivery system. You are your message. So with ACE, with those three elements, that's where I think makes powerful speaking, no matter what you're speaking on, whether that's a serious topic or a fun topic or a presentation, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lynn, you know, there's people listening in right now, and, you know, if you've ever seen Lynn speak, actually, you know, you really need to go to her website. I didn't know that was on there. I'm going to go take a look at it, the wowyouraudiences.com, to go see the clip that she's talking about. But I've seen you speak so many times, and, you know, you run stages and spoke, and I know you've worked with top celebrities and CEOs of corporations to, you know, to get them over that hump and everything. But can you give our listeners who... just really want to grab a couple little nuggets, gold nuggets to use next time they're speaking, you know, like, do I need to slow down my speech? Do I need to get, are there any, like, just really cool little tips that you can hand out to the speakers out there today that hasn't gone to your class yet?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, if you want to try to break the, I got to get it right. First of all, just really make number one your priority. Leading from who you are. Really get that people are connecting to who you are far more than the words that you say. And really just put that programming in your brain and turn off the switch that thinks you have to try to get it right. So start from there. All right, so let's start from there. Also, the best speaking is when it's a one-on-one conversation. So when you're looking at an audience, a lot of people feel that they want to just scan the audience, and they got to make sure they keep the whole energy of the audience, and so they keep like moving their eyes around the audience. They feel like it holds the energy of the audience. That actually diffuses your focus. It diffuses the focus for the audience and for yourself. The best speaking, or even like, well, you know, when I'm emceeing, whatever that might be, is when you are looking into the eyes of an audience member, and the entire audience, let's say it's 100 people or 1,000 people, is contained through one set of eyes at a time. So really look into one person's eyes and have that one-on-one conversation. And now go to another person's eyes, and it's a one-on-one conversation. You hold the entire energy of the audience through one set of eyes at a time, and you treat it like a conversation, not like, let me now teach you or let me now show you what I know. It's a one-on-one conversation. Be the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage, you know? So really letting that one-on-one conversation feel is going to make people go, wow, I felt like he was talking to me. Even though they may have been on the other side of the audience while you were focusing on this person over here, but that's what creates that feeling. And that's also what will open you up to not feel like you got to get regimented or get into presenter mode. Another thing that I think can really help people is a lot of times people are so concerned they want to get it just right. Again, we talk about they're trying to get just the right words and make sure they say it right, make sure they don't make a mistake, make sure they don't forget a thing. And all that does is create constriction. And, you know, then you can feel tight. You feel that tension, and they're trying to make sure they walk that tightrope. And, oh, who wants to be out there speaking that way? And I tell you what, the audience feels that. Instead of looking at it like there's this one target that you hit and you've got to get it right, and if you fall off in any way, then it doesn't count. Instead of looking at it that way, look at it like it's this whole huge open space. And there is a myriad of ways, millions of ways that you might hit it, millions of ways that it could come out. And it's all going to be great if you are leading from your connection, if you're having that one-on-one conversation type of feeling, if it's flowing from you from that place in this open space and play in it. You add a sense of play. That has carried me so many times. I can't even tell you. When I thought I was going to keel over because I was so sick, or when I was so tired, or I was stressed, whatever it was, I just thought, okay, here's this open space. I'm just playing in it. I'll be carried by it, and I will play with it. So you play with how you say it. You play with the moment, and it adds a whole other element to how you communicate.
Yeah, you know, we used to say, go ahead, Bob.
No, it's really good. It's just like I have a little trouble envisioning somebody in their 30s or 40s who believes that their entire world depends upon this speech that they, by the way, have to give, because I hear that all the time, when they say, I have to give this presentation. And really, I guess from what you're saying is if they have to give the presentation, they probably shouldn't give it because it's no longer authentic and they're really not connected anymore?
Yeah, exactly. That they're stuck in trying to get it right. They're feeling a burden of it. They've got all their stuff standing in the way, and they're wanting to avoid it or resist it. And they're instead of just facing it head on. It's kind of similar to, hold on one second. there we go. So I'm getting Skype. I'm like, hey, go away. I'm on a call here. I'm on an interview. So they've got that burden of feeling like they have to, and they resist it. They're only making it worse on themselves. And you know what? I've been in that place when all of a sudden I've got all this pressure, and I feel like I've got to nail it. And I'll share that story in just a second. But and I also see where people think, like, to deal with nerves, I've heard this, and I go, who came up with this one? That they feel like to deal with nerves, to look above the audience and not look in their eyes. And all that's going to do is all the more separate you from the audience and disconnect you and yourself from your message. Whereas if you just head on look into the eyes of an audience and recognize, too, by the way, that don't judge an audience by how it seems that they're looking. It's even the best out there sometimes feel this, but you got to just recognize it and let it go. They feel like, oh God, this person over here looks like they're going to kill me. This person over here looks like they're bored. This person looks like they're dead. You know what I mean? They look like, oh, this audience does not want me up here, right? And what that is that how they look when they're watching television. You know, their face, like either they're concentrating, so their eyebrows are furrowed, or they're just kind of dead in their face because they're just like absorbing it. That's how they watch television. They don't know to inform their face about what they're feeling or processing inside. So, in fact, I call it concentration, not consternation. So when you can just give that the freedom, and maybe there will be a few people who are in their own stuff, whatever thing that they're on, and then that's okay. Connect to them beneath that. I feel like I'm just going to connect to an audience beneath everything and from a more pure unity place in a way. And either they resonate with it or not. But I get to generate the energy, and that's where I'll connect from.
Okay, you know, it sounds like it also sounds like you, you know, when you allow yourself to make mistakes, you give yourself a lot of room to make mistakes and recover and not get too worried about your delivering just right. You said you have a million ways to do it. I could imagine you get really constricted when you have to deliver it and it has to be done. I know you're going to tell us that story. But we used to do that as musicians. We always used to say a real musician, when he makes a mistake, smiles. And a musician that doesn't know what they're doing grimaces.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, exactly. You just go with it. You know, with the flow. Sometimes that's the beauty. A mistake, actually, as a speaker, can be a friend. I call them happy mistakes because an audience loves someone that's accessible. And it's all in how you handle the mistake. If the mistake comes up and you're going along with it and, hey, we're in this together, the audience feels like there was no break in the connection. Yeah, we're in this together. But if you get flustered by it or you ignore it or you railroad through it, then the audience can just feel like, that's not really staying with you. But when a mistake happens and how you handle it, then they feel like, oh, cool, I like this person a little bit more. I know I was speaking at some speakers conference, in fact, and we were just on a roll having fun with the audience, and someone started walking up and then handed me a note. I'm like, you know what, I'm speaking up here. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that while this person's handing me this note. And then I look at the note, and I laugh, and then I just share it with the audience. I go, oh, it says my fly is down. Hold on one second. And I turn around and zip it up and I go, okay, let's keep going. Now, you know, I just had fun with it. I didn't get flustered or try to cover it up or move past it. And the audience loved it. They've been all the more on my side. We got to continue having fun. You know, we were in this together. And there's such a feeling that happens. Like, I saw Jack Canfield, and if you know Jack, he's a co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, just in the movie The Secret. Brilliant, heart-centered man, and speaks everywhere. I've been speaking for years, and I remember seeing him, and he was up on stage, and sometimes you might forget what you're about to say, right? But when you're transparent, that's okay, too. So he was going along talking, and he went, you know, I just forgot what I was about to say. And then he goes, well, you know, hang on a second. Well, it'll come back to me. And then he just moved on to something else, and he moved on to something else, and then it turned off, came back to him. But the audience loved it because he just kept them with him on it. He didn't get flustered or think he had to hide it or, you know, anything like that.
Right. Well, of course, that works when it's not a business presentation or your boss is one of the people in the audience that you're trying to avoid looking at.
Well, that's if you're coming at it from that place. I'm telling you, business presentations especially, when you are connecting from that one-on-one conversation, when you're not worried about whether that boss is going to smile or not, and that takes intention. But when you have that way that you connect with that intention, even if you're transparent, if you're not flustered by it, and you're doing it where you're your friends together having this conversation, it's okay because then you're handling it. But it's when you get flustered by it that then it all falls apart. Just give yourself that freedom. I mean, look at Richard Branson. He's one of the great business leaders out there, and yet he's so full of life. He's so real. He's, you know, down to earth. And I could see him in a business presentation. If he forgot, he would then find his way and glide through it. So, and I've had that come back to me again and again. Venture capitalists that went through it and said, they have so many people coming in front of their office selling their whatever project or whatever it might be, and they're so trying to watch how it comes across, and that they really respond when they can feel someone's heart and passion, even if not all the figures are completely there at first, or even if they might have mumbled their words, but if they can really feel that person, then they respond to them. I mean, that's what one of these venture capitalists shared with me. I thought, if we can really get that, it's going to make a huge difference.
Well, even Bill Gates was up on stage and had his new computer blue screen. So, I mean, I know that some people who teach speaking, and I think you know what I'm talking about, they have people come up on stage. I don't know if you do anything like this, but they actually have people come on stage and do their worst thing they could ever do. So people actually show up on the stage naked. Because once you've done that, it's all the bad stuff's behind you.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, now it's needing to integrate beyond that, right?
Right. But the wow factor, let's talk about the wow factor, because you could do 2 days, and I know that you do from the inside out. So you talk a lot about you get the person excited, and you get them in their, you know, not to overuse the word, their authenticity. Do you also teach these nuggets that we were talking about on how to deal with audiences and what to do and what not to do, those kind of things, or is that another session that you put together? Or
meaning, do I have some actual techniques on top of just get the processes that take people to the core foundational place? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, since I haven't taken it, I'm not sure what's in it, so...
Would it be useful for me to illustrate the flow of day one and day two?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be super.
Oh, can I just, this is just 2 days?
Just 2 days.
That's amazing. I mean, like, I'm a huge, big proponent of coaching and having other people show you the way, because I believe that no matter what level people are on, at some point, most people started out just where you are or got to where you are. There are some people, as shy as I feel I am, I know there are some people that wish they could get to where I am. So I'm a real big believer in coaching, but I didn't even realize that this was just 2 days. That's phenomenal. I mean, even with Tony Robbins, you have to walk around on coals for 3-4 days. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it really, really is. That's why I'm like so passionate about it. I mean, that's what is able to happen for people, where that guy, you know, came from how I was to where he was on fire at the end of the 2 days, and now what he's been able to generate and create, to where someone just now takes the lid off. You know, it actually ends up transforming not just your speaking, but as a nice side benefit, transforming areas of your life too, because when you really let down dissolve those walls in that way and connect in that way, there's other areas of your life now that you connect in other ways too. I mean, it's what it's done for relationships, for people's worth, feeling of worth, or their confidence. I mean, it's powerful, and people think, you know, like to get to this place, you got to spend years, you got to just get stage time. Eventually, you'll find it. And you know what? You may be building in those wrong habits. How about finding that place, and from a place where you can now go ahead and add on other languaging structures you want, or now add on other tweaks, or add on how you're going to book yourself, all that stuff. But get this core foundational place, and from there, everything else can build. Or if you already had everything else, make sure you get this. So let me talk through day one and day two. I think that'll help with understanding how this works. I just won't, you know, give the specifics of the processes, because that won't serve anybody, but I will tell you kind of the flow, if that's helpful.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, so first, it's an intimate group, so to remember that there's probably, you know, initially there was only maybe about 10 people, but now we might expand to have 15 or 20, and some of them are one-on-one, and the others maybe are just being a part of the processes but aren't necessarily getting the one-on-one part of it. But either way, a huge transformation happens. Ultimately, the best is when you're in the one-on-one, and I'll speak from that perspective. And so first, it's important to create a safe space with that intimate group that's gathered together. So it's in this way that happens, fun and playful throughout the whole 2 days, by the way. And you then feel automatic permission to let down your walls and express freely, openly, and powerfully. And then our first process is where we discover and uncover what is stopping you or possibly cluttering up your full mastery or power potential in your speaking. And from uncovering it, then you learn how to navigate through it and master it. And then, and this is still on day one, then you experience a series of processes that have you experience real, full connection like you've never had before in such a place of full trust. And this is where you get at a visceral level, at that cellular level, about leading from your connection and getting that full trust in how you speak, so that it flows out of you. And this is where you get in touch with all of who you are and speaking from your core and your real essence. Fears dissolve, who you are opens up and blossoms, and the command with which you speak explodes. And this process also has you experience how you can speak off the top of your head effortlessly, which is so fun with people that are in that mode where they think they have everything memorized and charted out. They resist, they can't think this will work, and then they do these processes and they get stunned at how they're able to just have it flow out of them. And this process often gives people the clarity they're looking for in the messaging if they didn't already have it. And if they did, it has them connect to their message and purpose even deeper. And you're then given some extra processes for being able to shift into your power when you're tired or nervous or upset, whatever that might be. Be able to have something that you can just shift in an instant. And towards the end of day one, you're given voice exercises to be sure you have found all of your voice. It opens up not just your voice, but other aspects of who you are. And that's all in just day one. People by day one are like, oh my God, wow, well, you know, already. And day two, you learn a number of tools and distinctions to work with now that you've tapped into that core place and own it. Knowing how to now speak from there, you can now tweak aspects of how you deliver what you do. So kind of what you were talking about, JW, with are there certain other distinctions and just hard and fast tools? Well, here on day two, I start giving some of those. And then we still have some more processes. You get to tap into this process that I love. It's amazing. It's called disempowering empowering. And it has you see how you can literally shift in an instant, that it's like an actual inner light switch, and how we really are generating the energy ourselves, that we are those generators. And it's amazing what that does for your speaking and especially your life. That's some of what's been life-altering for relationships, no less the results that get created and get generated because you have this power under your belt. And then the really fun part of day two is what I call the sandbox. And this is where you just amplify energy. You get to really, with passion and energy, explore all the levels that you can go to that you had no idea before. And this gives you that cut above all the rest and has people accelerate in minutes. You know, what you saw in the before and after, what you will see if you go to wowyouraudiences.com. You know, in the sandbox, this is where you got to, just in minutes, shift to this whole other place. Plus, it has you further anchor into that newfound connection, freedom, and clarity that you now have. And then, a specialized process, this is the very last thing, a specialized process that plugs you into the future you want to create, who you want to be, how you want to show up, and has you experience it like it's here now. And you're given a way that you live from that place, from that moment forward. So that's why, you know, this work is so powerful in just 2 days. It becomes part of your cells, where you literally don't have to think about it. It's an automatic part of you, this new, more highly expressed, confident, passionate, impactful you. So, you know, it's powerful work.
Well, let me just say, if anybody can teach us, you are the person to do it. I've seen you come up with stuff off the top of your head while you're doing your red carpets, and you're dealing with people that are happy, sad, you know, blasé, you know, won't talk too much.
right?
Yeah, I've seen you have them get up on stage during seminars, and I'm sure have to come up with a lot of stuff off the top of your head because they're saying stretch the time because the speaker isn't ready.
Right.
Just by the way, for everybody listening, you have to know that Lynn Rose is also a singer, and we didn't talk about that. You're an incredible singer, and you sing at a lot of your events. And I want to talk about what is it, the tweet thing? Everybody tweet. I want to talk about that in a second. But first, I want to say, before you take her course, and you should take her course if you want to, if you really want to learn what you're doing, before you take her course, she is available for, I'm guessing, voiceover, stage, red carpets, singing events, and entertainment. And they can.
Wow,
they can,
I got to hire you as my agent.
Right. Well, of course. The bill's coming. No, I'm just kidding. But I think they can get you at lynnrose.com for that.
Lynn at lynnrose.com is my email.
Okay.
Lynnrose.com is my site. And that's just my overall site. Excuse me. And then wowyouraudiences.com is the WOW site, although you can access it through lynnrose.com.
Okay, I'm going to bring up Tweet Me in a second because I want everybody to hear you sing, and this is an incredible video, but I'm just going to tease everybody with it for a second because I want you to tell me, when is your next session? Because we've been talking about this great session, and people want to know, are going to want to know where to go.
Oh, about WOW, you mean?
Yes.
So the next one, and in the case someone's listening to this as a recording beyond the date that I mentioned, then just go to wowyouraudiences.com and see the next date. But for right now, where we are as we're recording this right now, I'm doing one in England, November 27th and 28th, and then one here in Los Angeles, Marina Del Rey, California, December 4th and 5th. So in Marina Del Rey, right on the water, December 4th and 5th. Oh, and also, JW.
Yes.
Is it, I can give people who are listening a discount. So why don't we do that?
Let's do that.
Why don't we do that? I think that might be nice. Because I like to do that when in a situation like this where you're helping me access people I wouldn't have normally accessed. So for 25% off, basically a fourth off, you just use the code, the coupon code, webinar, W-E-B-I-N-A-R, webinar. And you can also email me, Lynn at LynnRose.com, with any questions. I love connecting and interacting, so that would be great.
And you don't have to tell her that you listen to her on the Networking Fool show. That would be nice, but we make no stipend from this or anything. We just love Lynn, and we know that she can help you, and we want you to. I mean, it's a big deal with me, and I really can't wait to come to one of your workshops. I'm hoping to come to one in December. Because I'd really like to, I want to feel better on stage. I want to feel better about myself, and I get stage fright terribly. So, I know you wouldn't believe it because
it's so fun. So, whenever feels right for you, it'd be awesome.
Be touring other places besides just England and LA. In other words, when we go to the website, there'll be, you know, ongoing sessions throughout the country.
Let's see, I'm back in England end of January, and I don't know when the next LA one will be, and I know that there was one that was being looked at as potentially being in another city. I just don't know if that's going to work out. Every now and then that does. I know there was someone who was contacting me about doing one in Canada, but I tend to like to do them in Los Angeles and have people come to me. But I have certainly done them every now and then in another city if someone sets that up. But
That's great. So if somebody calls you up and can get at least, 20 or so people to show up, you'll be happy to go out and do one?
Oh, if they get 20, that's great. They can just get 10. Again, this is hands-on intimate work. So, you know, if you got 10 people, we're good to go.
Oh, wonderful.
Because you need to keep it intimate in order to get, you know, what we do. I mean, obviously you can have 20 and then 10 of the 10 would be more of the observers that would participate in the processes up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 10 would be the ones who are getting that one-on-one.
Right.
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
Well, because the only thing the first word that comes to mind, obviously, is wow, because I think it's... I mean, there's so many people. My dad used to say, people don't know who you are, how shy you are. They don't know you when you first meet them. So shake their hand firmly and look them in the eye. And even if you're not that person, do it because they'll believe it. And this is kind of like, you know, to the next level. This is, you know, you just get out there and be who you should be, and I guess who you can be, despite who you really are. I'm trying to figure out how I could tap into my inner self when I get on stage and stuff like that, because I'm horrible. I get totally shook up.
Well, Bob, we need to get you to come on down to WOW then. That'd be a whole
different
situation after that. But that's great. You know, for me, it's actually uncovering who you really are. When I was locked up and fearful and couldn't operate in any way, what you see now was there. So that is there. It's there inside of you. It just needs to be uncovered. It needs to be, you know, unleashed, which, I, you know, sounds like a cliche word. It needs to be connected to. But it's there. And that's the beauty of it. It's not like trying to manufacture something.
So you don't do any of that fake it till you make it stuff. You, by the time the person leaves your deal, they've got in touch with that place they need to get in touch with.
That's right.
There you go.
That's amazing.
Okay, so let's see. I told everybody that we were going to talk about everybody tweet. So can you tell me about that real quick? Not real quick. Just tell me about everybody tweet and give us the .com where we can take a look at it.
Yep. Oh, this is such a passion of mine. I had an opportunity to create this song and viral video to be the anthem for social media. And, you know, for one of the gentlemen who was a silent investor in Twitter and this big conference and stuff. And I took the ball and ran with it. Now it's become this whole movement. It's not quite officially out there as the movement. You can just now at least see the song and video. But in the process, I learned so much about social media. And, you know, one thing that I know people like to poo-poo social media, thinking, oh, people are talking about stubbing their toe on the way to the bathroom or, you know, what I had for breakfast. But, yeah, there's a lot of that crap out there. But you know what? Social media has given everyone across the planet a voice that can be heard. Doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your income level, doesn't matter your culture, you know, gay, straight, you know, I mean, it goes on and on. You have a voice that can be heard. And how can we use it for good? Because there's so many ways that social media has been able to connect people together or bring awareness to charities or all these different ways it's done for good. So, and I kind of like that idea because it's tied into, wow, that's kind of helping people find their full voice and amplifying it to its fullest expression in a way. So it's kind of all interlined. But everybody's tweet is, the video and song is fun. It's fun, it's playful, but it's making a powerful message, which at the very end you'll see as it types out as a quote-unquote little tweet. So if you go to everybodytweet.com, everybodytweet.com, that's where you can see it. It's really fun, and we're going to have a whole other version coming out with some celebrity appearances. We're creating a hub for social media where we can connect people together to bring about change, and I'm very excited about what we've got going on behind the scenes so far that people will eventually be able to see. But for now, that song and video is a load of fun, and you won't be able to get it out of your head. It's very catchy.
No, it's extremely catchy. It's super well-produced. It's really fun, and we get to see you, and we get to hear you sing, and you're an excellent singer. I love to listen to you sing. A lot of times when I go to seminars, I do a lot of my business out in the hallway, but then I come in to hear you sing. I know I should be in there listening to the speakers, but I love to listen to you. So, well, you know, we just love you, period. You're always so exciting and fun, and I've never been around you when you've never been in a funk when I've been around you, and I've been around you backstage and front stage and just hanging out, and you know, you're just such a positive, fun person to be with, and I really enjoy I always enjoy getting to be around you, and if somebody takes your course and gets to hang with you for 2 days, I mean, what a delight.
Aw, thanks, DW. It's a love fest.
It is. I know. I'm gushing it on pretty heavy, but I mean it.
What is our New Yorker?
Where did you guys, who came up with the actual song for Tweet Tweet?
Everybody Tweet?
Yeah, well, because it's obviously not exactly in your ilk of, you know, of Songfest. It's kind of a, you know, white girl rapping is almost the way it really looks. So it's phenomenal. It's catchy. It's wonderful. But after having gone online and looked at some of the other things that you've done singing, it's just a little out of what I expected.
Oh, yeah, because normally what I've done before, I mean, actually I've done a whole wide scope. I'm fortunate in that I can sing many different styles, from jazz, blues, to contemporary. You just necessarily may not have seen that before, because I'll sing what's appropriate to an event. Or I created this CD that's been out there called Simply the Best, Music to Motivate, Inspire, and Connect You to Your Heart. And that is, you know, mostly songs that are already well known, and then a couple that I wrote. But they, you know, they are kind of bluesy, and I even have some contemporary feel, just maybe not as absolutely contemporary like this one, Everybody Tweet. Well, I just do, for me what counts is the messaging in the music, or you know, what feeling or motivation the music will inspire, and I'm not as bound by the style. But so Everybody Tweet, I wrote that with these Grammy producer guys. I went to them, I said, I want to work with you because I think this is right. You guys get what I'm about. We're fun. Let's write this together. So we wrote it together. I actually dreamt it. I woke up in the morning and I just had the hook in my head. Everybody Tweet, Tweet, you know. Actually it started out as a different word, but then we changed it to Everybody Tweet, Tweet. And, you know, we started playing with that, and then we created it, and I have a blast doing it. So,
yeah, and you can tell. I mean, I've watched it several times because it is just that. It's fun. It's a great little piece.
That's great. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and if you if you're listening to this on Networking Pool, you'll look below. You'll be able to find the links to her site, to the WOW site, to her site, and also to Everybody Tweet.
Everybody Tweet.
Everybody
Tweet. We did an alliance with some charities, including Revolution Yes, so you'll see them within the video, all in a fun, playful way. It's not in your face in any way, but it's really fun.
Yes, and she's talking about Revolution Yes, which is the brainchild of our favorite correspondent, Lisa Schneiderman.
Yes, we love Lisa.
Yeah, she's the best.
So, guys, I love my networking fools. My goodness. And we're interviewing fools now, aren't we? We're having some fun.
Absolutely. That's what we do. We call everybody our networking fools. Hopefully everybody who listens to us gets that we are idiots. We like that, too. But we're also very excited about really great content and value. And so I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing a lot of value and yourself and your time with us today.
Oh, thank you, JW and Bob. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity, and I look forward to when I get to see you next, JW, at the next thing, maybe if it's even WOW. And, you know, keep up the great work you guys are doing. I'm really impressed by all your building and creating, and I really appreciate being a part of it.
Thank you very much. It's been great. A lot of fun. You are terrific.
I love you.
All right, everybody, Networking Fools. Networkingfool.com, and also check out Lynn Rose at lynnrose.com, and you can get a hold of her at lynn@lynnrose.com. And if you're interested in checking out the WOW, what do you call it? What does WOW stand for again?
Without Walls.
Without Walls. Learn how to speak from the inside out. That's wowyouraudiences.com. And thank you, everybody, for listening in. Bob, you want to say anything before we jump out?
No, I'm back on her website trying to see where she's going with it next. It's phenomenal.
Great. Anyway, everybody take care. Have a great week, a great month, a great year, and a great life.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Networking Fools Show, featured on Blog Talk Radio and on the Networking Fools website at www.networkingfools.com. Networking Fools is the property of Network Alchemists. Networking Fools, Network Alchemists, Nalchemists, and Nalchemy are trademarks of the Network Alchemists, LLC, and this podcast is copyright 2010, and all rights are reserved.